Hello, this is Dave Smith from the And Another Thing with Dave podcast, and when I'm not working on my own podcast, I'm listening to Take Flight Teaching Podcast with John Melton, and I think you should too. Check it out.
Welcome back to the Take Flight Teaching Podcast, where we discuss ESL teaching, maximizing your income, and international news with John Melton.
Hello. Hola. Guten Tag. Ni hao. Salam alaikum. Bonjour. How's it going? This is John Melton with the Take Flight Teaching Podcast. Back to bring you another episode. How's everybody doing? I hope you have your mind set on your goals today. We want to take a look at a little bit of international news today, because why not? A former head of a Chinese state-owned asset management company was executed Friday on charges of taking bribes and an unusually severe penalty for a recent corruption case. Lai Xiaomin of China Huarong Asset Management Company was among thousands of officials snared in a long-running anti-graft campaign led by President Xi Jinping. Others were former insurance regulators, and they've been sentenced to prison. Lai was 58 and put to death by a court in Tianjin, east of Beijing. Now, China gets a lot of flack, and people are critical of their justice system. I mean, there is a 99% conviction rate. So that should tell you a little something. But when there is corruption or somebody suddenly jumps astronomically high above the pack, China investigates, because this is harmful to small businesses. It's harmful to the citizens. So they go and look into these things, like Jack Ma. People are like, what happened to him? I'm sure the country, China, got with Jack Ma and broke his company down into different parts, so it breaks up the wealth, because it was crushing a lot of small businesses. But with this guy, he pocketed like millions of dollars, U.S. dollars, and bribes and this and that, and China executed him. They didn't play. Fair enough. And that article is courtesy of the LA Times. So let me give you some tips for new EFL teachers, ESL teachers, however you want to call it, teaching abroad. All right. Now listen, when you're new, you're in a new country, a new environment. Listen, everyone is nervous at first. Relax. Not everyone was born to be a public speaker or talk in front of large crowds. When you make your class, when you schedule your class and curriculum for the day, always have backups. You see, a lot of people get stuck and not know where to go because they didn't have a backup and something changes, because something inevitably always changes. Class can be really fun, though. Just be engaging. Be open to suggestions. But the thing is you got to prepare your lessons, but don't get too meticulous and boxed in. Okay? There are plenty of online resources with lesson plans and curriculums already made, and you can just make a few minor tweaks and you're ready. There's no sense in trying to reinvent the wheel. English is English. So get some of these pre-made lesson plans and curriculums from people who have been in the game much longer than you, and work smart, not hard. Next is to observe. I think this goes for anything in life. When you're striving to be something, observe people who are on the same path or who are successful in what you want to do. Here's another thing. For instance, when I was new to teaching abroad, there was a lot of grammar points that I had to go back and restudy because, I mean, I had just been years since I really looked at grammar. And let me tell you, the kids, for instance, in China, are probably better at English grammar than most of our students. And so you have to be, you know, on your game for that. Sorry, I had to slip that one in there on you. Now, let's move on. What makes a good ESL teacher? Well, it's the same thing that makes a good lawyer or a good salesman. Passion, enthusiasm. You have to like what you're doing. And from personal experience, working for kids, teaching kids is never a bad path. It's rewarding. The stress is, yes, stressful, but it's really not that bad compared to people putting out fires or driving thousands of miles with 40,000 pounds behind them on the interstates all week long. I mean, those are a lot more stressful than, you know, dealing with a misbehaved child because maybe he hasn't got the proper attention and guidance at home. Now, try to have an inquiry-based instruction to your classroom, which means encourage students to ask questions and investigate their own ideas. It helps them improve problem-solving skills as well as gain a deeper understanding of academic concepts. Both are important life skills, period. We need problem-solving skills. So encourage questions, but don't just give them the answer right away. Make them work for it a little bit, but always be encouraging. Utilize group work and paired work. Instead of constantly engaging in dialogue with students themselves, divide them into pairs and then kind of go around the room like a ghost and, you know, overlook them, help where needed, but try not to interject too much. Maybe let your teaching assistant do some of the work. And that brings me to my last topic I want to talk about, which is discipline. Now, be reminded, when you're away from America, discipline may be viewed differently. It may be a lot more strict than you're used to, or it may be a lot more lenient than you're used to. But let me give you a story. I once had a child in a class named Andy. Not his real name, but we'll call him Andy. Well, Andy was mischievous and playful, but got in a lot of trouble. The closer I observed Andy, the more I could tell that the problem was that he was not getting proper attention at home. His mother took him to class rather in an impersonal way. His father was never around because he was constantly working to provide them with a good life. They had money, but Andy was always crying or throwing a fit or just doing something that it was obvious he shouldn't do. So he got to where, you know, he warmed up to me, but then he was still just as mischievous. And he was at one time, you know, trying to jump and grab my hat off of my head when and I shouldn't have been wearing a hat to teach in the first place. But he kept jumping and I'm like, okay, you know, trying to still save face in front of the other students. So I'm still the good guy. But still discipline him. And I should have dropped worrying about being too much of a good guy. But anywho, eventually he knocks my hat off my head. Well, at this point, I'm a little bit pissed. But I can't show it. He's just a kid. So this whole time he also had a bouncy ball. And he kept throwing it and throwing it. Okay. Well, after he knocked my hat off my head, the teaching assistant helped me get him back to his seat, disciplined him, but he still kept playing with this ball, never paying attention. So you're like talking to the whole class. They're all looking at you very attentively. And this one kid's just bouncing a ball, just doing his own thing in his own world. And it's distracting. So finally I was like, Andy, pass me the ball. And then smiled. He bounced it over to me. And I was like, yeah. And I went to act like I was throwing it back at him. I threw it out of the room. So I threw it out of the room. He got up and ran and chased the ball out of the room. And I went and slammed the door behind him and locked the door. The whole class cheered and like I was some big hero, which I thought was kind of funny. We left him out there for a little bit, but then he started banging to get back in. My teaching assistant had to go give him a long, stern lecture. And see, the problem with this is that when you're in a learning center, the place is a money-making operation. So the parents fund it. Well, a lot of times the owners give the parents way too much say. Well, it seemed like maybe the mother wasn't too keen on her son not being involved in the class or this or that, but we had to like break it down and tell her what was going on. Well, let me tell you, when the mother got to him to discipline him, it was much worse than any of us had expected. So he came back with an attitude adjustment for a little bit, and you know, slowly the behavior start to creep in because nothing is fixed at home. It will be a common problem, but you cannot have a bleeding heart too much because you're going to end up the one bleeding out. You know, I liked Andy a lot, but I knew he was troubled. And a lot of times I would, you know, be in my office and doing a lesson plan or something. They would come before class or hang out a little afterwards. And he even got to where he would climb and sit in my lap. And it's like he just really needed a father figure or guidance in his life. And so I didn't want to come down too hard on him. But at the same time, the language barrier kept me from being too much of a guidance outside of our English classes. Coming up next week is the Chinese New Year. So we'll be discussing some of that in the episode. I have experience at the Dragon Boat Festival, which is only small in comparison to the Chinese New Year, but it's a huge ordeal. We'll go over that and some other things. We'll see what pops up. If you have any questions, feel free to message me. You can find me on Instagram at @TakeFlight_podcast. Until next time, when we meet again, this is John Melton signing out.